The following program is a paid advertisement. The views expressed are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers of Walnut Media.
Good evening. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
And this is Trauma Talk. So, gosh, I feel like it's been forever. It's only been a week since we were here last. But I think that's because we had a break. Cam was on vacation and...
Can't get rid of me that easy, guys.
Yeah. We were trying to pawn him off, but no, he's here to stay.
Yeah, Emily loved it. She had a great time with you guys. So
yeah, good.
Anytime you want her back, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, you know, Frank, I don't know if I shared this with you, but my son, 6 year old, the other day. Well, we pray at night before we go to bed. And we pray in the morning, but this was one of those times where we were praying, and after we got done, he said, "Dad," he said, "I wish sometimes that I could turn time back a little," mm-hmm. but he said, "just a little bit," and I said, "Why?" And he said, "So that I could stop myself from doing, you know, overreacting or getting upset sometimes." Saying things I don't mean.
What do you mean to say?
And I was thinking, from the mouth of a babe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, how wise was that? I mean, just mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. When you're working on things and you're working on them with your children and stuff, their insights and their reminders and the things that they teach us.
The simplicity, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it made me start thinking about how much. Well, we were talking earlier about how Jesus, why it was so important that he came in here as a man, and not just, you know, that he came as his human self and his divine self. I mean, can you imagine how many times he probably wanted to invoke some kind of power on people when they were doing crazy stuff?
They're always doing crazy stuff. Right? We live in.
But even he, here's what I'm getting to with this, is even he didn't take that journey alone. He found 12 apostles to be his friends and people he could teach and that could be there with him through that journey. And so I was thinking about how important it is when we're working on things and we're trying to get our lives right, that we find mentors that we're trying to... That are trying to go the same direction that we want to go, right, to help us along the way. Because we have a tendency to isolate and think that we can do it all on our own. And even Jesus didn't do it alone.
He can't.
As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he, in his most excruciating hour, what happened with his apostles? Didn't he have Peter, James, and John with him?
He fell asleep.
Yeah.
He felt like, yeah.
But it wasn't just due to the late hour. It was also because of their deep grief and exhaustion from the pain that they were enduring in their own hearts, knowing that they were about to lose their best friend and and their Messiah, right? So... And Jesus went a short distance away so that he could pray in peace, and knowing the agony and suffering that awaited him. And he said, "Lord, if there's another way, if this cup could be passed, please let it be passed. But if I have to take it." That is the biggest difference between his way and our ways.
Yeah.
Is that when those challenges come, no matter what they were, mm-hmm. in the desert with no food or wherever, he always made the right decision, which we're not expected to do, of course, thank goodness, because I'd be in big trouble.
So would I.
But he didn't just come to his inner circle once.
A couple times.
Three.
Yeah.
Three times. And Jesus recognized it. He was compassionate. He knew how hard he, you know, how badly he was struggling. So, of course, his friends are struggling also. He said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing,
but the flesh is weak. You know what? I've been reading that book on shame. I got over half done, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about this whole deal with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And it never, like, hit me, right? Because he went through, like, he knew what was coming. And he went through all this infliction of pain and suffering and separation from God. And so just this brief sentence I'm going to read, it says, it's talking about God. He had confidence that his triune relationship would bear the weight of whatever trauma was coming his way. So here I am, I'm all-knowing and all-seeing, and I'm in this body, and I know what's coming.
Right.
See, we are different. When trauma hits us, we don't know what's coming.
Right.
But for me to walk into it voluntarily.
Knowingly and willingly.
About what's going to happen.
To prove, to not only be able to come to his Father on our behalf to mm-hmm. keep him from his great wrath and destroying us because he doesn't have any sin in him and doesn't under, you know, like, I'm sure, you know, that's just his divine judgment, you right. know, and Jesus is always there to intercede because he's lived as a human and he knows mm-hmm. what that feels like to be tempted and how frail and weak we are. And it's awesome to have, and God, his Father wanted him to live the full human experience.
Mm-hmm.
To be human is to be weak. Like the rest of us, Jesus would have lived in a body that had the ability to get sick or injured at any time. We don't think about this stuff. He would be tired, John 4:6, hungry, Matthew 4:2,
mm-hmm.
and thirsty, John 19:28. He would learn that there are many ways to experience physical suffering, and he would experience what it was like for people to impose suffering on others.
Other people, yeah.
As well. He had to endure people that didn't love God, encounter people cheating and hurting others, had to struggle with those who didn't understand his message or didn't trust him, even those he had healed.
Mm-hmm.
He had close relationships, but had to grieve at the loss of those relationships. Lazarus, that we've talked about mm-hmm. before, for example. Jesus had to watch what it was like for people to experience death and grieve at their loss. Or feel angry that death existed because of the fall. Yeah, having such great compassion, that's another thing that just in general, when we think about having a, you know, our supreme mentor and our supreme friend is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it made him, and the fact that Adam and Eve fell made him very angry because of the suffering that it created for everyone else.
In living in the world, or was going to live in the world, yeah, is living in the world.
Right. That he went beyond human suffering to bear all the world's sins on the cross. Beside the physical abuse he endured before his crucifixion, he endured the most painful death imaginable. Made all the more excruciating because his Father had to turn his back on his one and only Son because he became sin who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He suffered on earth unlike anyone else ever has or ever will. Well. He became sin who knew no sin.
Mm-hmm.
For our sake.
You know it was all for, right?
To save us.
And to develop a relationship with us.
And to intercede, to yeah. be able to intercede for us in front of God. One of the greatest lessons he learned was that obedience to God is not forced. It is an act of will.
Mm-hmm.
According to the late Tim Keller, Jesus agonized over the prospect of his death in the Garden of Gethsemane because Keller believed the Father began to show the Son what he would have to suffer to appease God's wrath against humanity. Jesus asked God if there was another way to fulfill the Father's will and reject the cup. Keller believed that Jesus had a choice to reject the cup, though that would have meant sinning against his Father. When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the ultimate darkness was coming down on him and he knew it was coming, he didn't abandon you.
Yeah.
He died for you.
Right.
So my question is, if he didn't abandon you in his darkness, the ultimate darkness, Why would he abandon you now and yours?
People abandon each other.
Yeah, and themselves.
Yeah.
In a myriad of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
We find, I was thinking about this last week. We have a tendency to find more ways to tear people down than to build them up. You know, in general, if you hear somebody talking about another person, even if they say something good, they've got to counter it by saying mm-hmm. something bad. You know yeah. what I mean?
To bring some shame into their lives or something. Yeah.
yeah. You know, and we're all guilty of it.
Mm-hmm. It was just like I got a text, right? Said there was some activity that they wanted me to come to, right?
Yeah. Church. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, I got to work, and I got the radio show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and how they worded it, and people word things like this all the time. Since I did that yoga training, they're talking about be aware.
Your salvation is hinging on this.
Right. Basically. Right. But, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, but it's how they worded it, right? Yeah. And so now I'm more aware of how I say things. I can say something in such a way.
Amen.
I can cut you off.
Oh.
You know? Like you said, my salvation hinges on me being there. That's right. Not what Christ said.
No.
But they just want you there.
Right.
Well, they could say, hey.
I would really love it if you would be there.
That's a positive way to say it.
I understand if you can.
Yeah, that's a positive way of saying it. Yeah, yeah.
That's another thing, saying things we don't mean. Oh, I get it if you can't come. And they know you're just sitting there looking at their face drop. And,
yeah,
you
know, it's like, yeah. Like the young man we was talking to Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
He's got this. His family history just runs with, like, schizophrenia and all that, right? Yeah. And so what is his family telling him? Oh, don't talk like that.
Right.
Keep that to yourself.
Just fix it.
No, keep that to yourself. Yeah, here I am in my world, and it's, like, off the chain in my head.
Right.
So you mean keep that in my head? Got me believing that I'm a bad person when I can't communicate what the heck's going on in my own head?
Which is like we talked about earlier. It's the very reason that so many of us stay stuck, because that tape just goes on replay
and
just
keeps replaying
and replaying. Yeah. Because nobody, well, first of all, we don't take it to where, you know, let it go and accept grace. Mm-hmm. That'd be the first thing that would help. But also it talks about in the Bible that we need to take things to our brothers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it makes us stronger for one, and we need to confess our sins to somebody, or they just are like, it's like that wound that festers that you can't get to heal because it's not being covered, you know, it's not being let out, it's not being aired out properly, it's not being taken care of. What's that scripture that talks about that, about the wound? You can't pretend the wound's not there. You can't cover a wound by pretending it's not there. Right?
Make me look for it now.
Yeah. Let's race. No.
Your computer's probably faster than my phone.
So anyway, my point being that we got to play the tape through, whether that's getting something out that we need to get out and get rid of so we can let go of it and move on, or whether that's playing the tape through before we go to make a bad choice because we're not dealing with that. And so we make it through a spontaneous act of replay, we fall. And we just, instead of picking up the phone or doing something, anything, that'll stop us at that moment, we just fall back into replay, into bad behavior. So we got to stop long enough to play that tape through and say, what can I do to manage this in a better way? Did you find that?
Got something, Joe. I'm about to read. I'm looking at that.
So, back to the disciples sleeping. You know, they were sleeping for sorrow. And their deep confusion and emotional heaviness, they had been being told for days that this was coming. So it wasn't like all of a sudden at the Garden of Gethsemane, they're like, oh, darn it. Anyway, that they all of a sudden that started, they found out of nowhere, they knew. So they had already been probably losing sleep for days and trying to spend as much time with Jesus as they could. And so for that, and what do we do when we're depressed and we know that something is, we sleep, we fall asleep.
Makes time go by faster.
Well, in their case, I don't think they wanted that time to come faster. But
wait, you know, people, I work with people a lot in prisons off and on, right?
Yeah.
You know what they say, make time go past faster?
Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're taking all the antipsychotics and all that and knock themselves out.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, even though he did express some frustration with Peter when he said, so what, you couldn't watch with me for 1 hour? But, yeah. Well, I can't even fathom what that must have felt like to have your friend, your mentor, your brother, and know that they're about to pass.
Yeah, they didn't have the ability to stay awake.
I found this piece that talks about, I've often wondered why God allowed Jesus to be incarnated by the Holy Spirit and born to a virgin.
Was that a question?
Yeah, it's an ongoing one that isn't over yet. Why send him to earth as a baby and not as a fully grown man who could have hit the ground running with his ministry with full knowledge of everything he knew in heaven? It would have expedited things, but God's ways are not our ways, and it served his purpose
and not ours
to build a bridge between a holy God and sinful man through one who would experience a complete human life from embryo to a 33-year-old man. Though we don't know exactly what aspects of his divinity were set aside while he was on earth, we can take a closer look and see what would obviously have been unique to his time here and what things could have been learned. Likely, the most quoted verse in the Bible is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In that one verse, we learn why Jesus took on human flesh. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, who disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, humans became alienated and separated.
They're good at that.
God instituted right, though they're separating each other, yeah. God instituted the law of sin and death. Disobeying God led to spiritual and later physical death. Humans could not commune with God because of sin, but because of his great love, he allowed for an animal blood sacrifice supervised by a high priest to cover the sins of his chosen people. God gave them more laws to obey to maintain a covenant relationship with him, but they were never able to keep with them because of the lure of sin. So when God decided the time was right, he sent Jesus to become a human for the most important mission of all. Little did anyone know, except Mary and Joseph, they would end up being the savior of Jewish people and the rest of the world. But until his ministry at age 30, no one knew that being the savior meant a once-for-all blood sacrifice for the sins of humanity. No longer would people use animal sacrifice to atone for their sins. Jesus's body and blood would pay the price for the sins of those who trusted in him for salvation.
Yeah, if you trust in him, yeah.
Right.
Or if you believe it.
I don't know, steak still smells good on the grill, but.
Yeah, like medium rare?
Right, but yeah. not you know. I mean, it's Jesus also fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies in becoming human. David wrote about a coming king who would be his descendant, but also his Lord, sitting at the right hand of God, Psalm 101. In the fourth verse of that psalm, David also talked about one who would be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The prophet Isaiah wrote of a son born of a virgin who would be given to us and called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, yeah. Prince of Peace. And who else but Jesus could have filled Isaiah 9:7, which says, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
I got a question for you. You ever have anybody ask you this?
What?
Man, it don't take all that or tell you that.
Hmm?
It don't take all that.
To tell you all that, right?
No. Like all that me and you do?
Yes.
You know, the discipline of my practice, develop my connection with God, your practice, how you develop a connection with God. You know what people say?
What?
Dude, it don't take all that. I'd be thinking like, what the heck are you talking about?
Right. All that more.
Man. I can remember what I used to practice at.
Yeah. Being no good.
But I'm just saying, like, and you was the best at doing it, right?
Yeah.
So I changed my life. My eyes become open. I decided to practice this way.
Right.
Doing the next right thing. And now you're going to tell me they don't take all that.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
No.
I'm just talking about what it does for me.
Cam and I were just talking about that earlier on our way in, about being at just the right moment when we could have just went one way or the other. We chose the Robert Frost small path. Not to say that those hints weren't there all throughout my life, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when I was a kid and I was in Geneva for an evaluation for 30 days, I remember how isolated and alone I was. By now, I have been so many places and been around so many kids that, of course, I knew a couple of them. I even knew a couple of them from growing up with them. And so we were clowns, but behind closed doors in the hours and hours and hours that we'd be left alone every day, I read the Bible. And even though that was just another traumatic experience in my life that was hugely traumatic because I was isolated and all alone in the middle of nowhere, I felt so comforted by the living
word. Yep.
And those moments kept happening throughout my life. So it wasn't as if
it just happened the nudge
like wasn't always there.
Bolt lightning came out of the sky. Ooh, yeah,
no, right. No. Just like I would think, okay, I got it now. Mm-hmm. And then I'd let my pride take over. And then there I'd be right back where I started. And then God would nudge me again. And he'd be like, Sean, I'm here. And then I'd be like, no, I got to be ruthless. I got to make money. Because, you know, I needed to show everybody that I wasn't going to be a statistic. You know what I mean? That I was going to overcome every single boundary that had been placed before me and show the world that I was the greatest. And so for the most part in my field of practice at the time, I did exactly that. I did things that had not been done in any other city in the country ever with what I did. But also I realized how lonely it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it also included, because of the group of people that are in our industry, Cam, a lot of drinking and a lot of partying and you know, wining and dining clients and doing all that stuff just brought a whole new barrel of issues, you know, and that I didn't see coming. But always that nudge has been there, you know, that, I mean, I almost became a monk at 18. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. After reading Thomas Merton and, which, by the way, New Seeds of Contemplation is amazing book.
Mm.
And he went through the Kent State riots and became a monk.
Really?
Yeah. That's what drove him to the monastery. But great, great story for those who don't know Thomas Merton and who he is. Check him out. He's amazing. So after we get back from the break, our call-in number is 402-344-0660. Again, that's 402-344-0660. Feel free to call in and check in with us or whatever else you'd like to do, but we'll be back after break.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just...
I guess we're back, Frank.
Yeah, we are, Sean.
So...
You stare politely right on through some sort of window.
That is a great jam.
Right. She goes left and you stay right. Swing the lines.
So remember, our call-in number is 402-344-0660. So Frank and I have a little news to share. We started our first transitional house this last week. Got some guys in there. It's definitely a reminding experience. Like you think, oh yeah, this is just, you know, run of the mill, and
no,
you know,
it's not.
No, it's really something to have guys just relying at first, relying in every way on weighing every decision on what we're doing, and you know, like asking us questions and all that stuff, which is amazing to be worthy today.
Of them asking us questions?
Yes, and trusting and believing in us to give them the proper answers and responses. And
like the whole thing, man, I've been doing this for like 20 plus years, right? And a lot of times I'll do my research, you know, like, okay, there's like 50 transitional houses in Omaha. So what would make us different from the 50? Do you know?
We actually have programs, yeah. We're working with people, not just housing them.
Yeah. That's the difference. And then it's just like ours is evidence-based and it took a lot of work. It was like a year ago. I was trying to talk to some guy. Like, I had this idea, like, with the houses, right?
Right.
It took him 6 months to call me back.
Oh.
Then when he finally called me back, guess what? Like, I'm not talking to you.
We're already rolling, yeah.
No, but I'm just saying we're already doing something. I'm not talking to you. You should have talked to me 6 months ago.
And for those who don't understand evidence-based, because it can be a little tricky, it's stuff that has worked, has been proven to work. It's a combination of programs that we're implementing, getting ready to implement and put in place to find out, you know, different things will work for different people. But we want people to, when they are ready to go on from there, to be able to live life with confidence that they have it together, they have a job, they have transportation, they have all the things that they need to be successful, and to lead as much of a stress-free life as they can in this world.
Yeah, to live a life. Because the thing is, like most places, like I was talking to a guy this afternoon, it's like, you know, he's like, oh, I appreciate y'all. Y'all gave me a chance. He was the one that was riding down the street on a bicycle, homeless, just got out of jail.
Yeah.
He told me he did 8 years in prison.
Oh, my.
So he doesn't know how to live, right?
Right.
So how would you teach somebody how to live? Guess what you do? Like with the model, it's from like 1938. There's 300 places worldwide. And guess what they believe? Community is therapy. What the heck did the apostles do after Jesus died?
Right.
They came together and learned how to live as Christians should live, right? A lot of times you go to the house, you know what they tell them? If you piss on the toilet, that's a $25 fine.
We can't say that word, just say it.
Pee.
Pee, yeah.
Okay,
potty. Potty
on the toilet, that's a $25 fine. Right. You know, if you're late, that's a $50
fine. We're probably
going
to get a fine for that word, Frank. Good job.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll pay for it.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about is that there's all these rules, that, like it's an extension of prison.
Yeah.
Prison's the same exact way. And then they come together. It's not about community or whatever. It's about how can I get over.
Well, and everybody's so focused on, I mean, obviously sobriety comes first. But once you're sober, you have to teach people how to maintain that sobriety and how to overcome the emotions that were leading them into using or overeating or whatever it is.
What if I just teach them how to live?
Right.
If I teach you how to live and how to be together, guess what? I ain't going to want to get high.
You'd be amazed. Because
I can't live without getting high because I don't know how to live.
Well, and it's the most basic of things. Look, for a lot of guys and girls, when they have been completely controlled by others, for either by in a relationship completely controlled, and what I mean by that is, like being incarcerated, I'm going to tell you when to eat,
controlled
sleep,
environment.
Poop.
Yeah, it's safe.
Yeah, go to bed, get up, all that, right?
Yeah, watch TV.
And then you throw them back to the wolves. Yeah.
There ain't nothing controlled
and
about
that. And they're like, I'm not sure I like it out here. I kind of liked not having to do anything and my thoughts and everything being controlled. And that's the saddest part of all because that's not being free. That's forgetting about the principle of freedom and what it means. And I guess the part that we're the most passionate about is that for so many years, people have been passing the buck and just saying, oh, that program's out there. That'll help them. But nobody ever looked into that program to see if anybody was even doing what they were supposed to be doing or what they said they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those programs are not even effective. And for those who pass the, you know, pass it on to somebody else and think that that the problem will go away. It does until a family member has their car stolen or someone's robbed in their family or you know, they go back to being incarcerated for whatever reason because we're paying for it, for one. For some, you know, like for those that care about that aspect of it. But more importantly, those people, so many of the people that we work with, not those people, our people, our fellow people, so many of them have so many wonderful skills and so many things to offer.
Beyond.
Yeah, when we just begin to give them time, you're like, I am amazed. I would have never known that mm-hmm. you could write lyrics like that. I would have never known that you had the potential to be a poet and you didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm. Or you could build a house or something like that.
I had to throw that in.
The poet, you didn't know.
I know, man. What were we talking about the other day? And we were joking about. It was something. It was a good one though, and I forgot it.
I can't remember, man. Give me a couple.
No,
of
but
days.
We were laughing. Yeah, give me a week, and I'll remember it next week. But so, even on our flyer, you got that.
You tell them the name of the house. They're going to really think there's something wrong with
you.
Yeah. They're going to really think there's something wrong with you. They're going to really think there's something wrong with you.
We're so excited because we actually have our little pamphlets that are over here at Walnut if you ever want to pick one up and check it out. But our statement about trauma is it says trauma, sooner or later it affects all of us. And with no textbook to handle events when they happen, we tend to develop negative ways to escape in order to not deal with the pain. These triggers can last a lifetime if we don't come to terms with the root cause of them. At Trauma House of Healing, we use a variety of cutting-edge techniques coupled with traditional therapies to help you, quote, get to the heart of the problem, unquote. There's not a one-method-fits-all solution. Everyone is different. Our goal is to not only help you deal with the underlying issues, but to give you the freedom to move forward and live a happier and healthier life. So our first house is called Libertas Connexio, which is a long version of getting to the personification of freedom through connection, through creating a close connection with each other, by coming together. So I think that encompasses everything that we're trying to accomplish with this program, and really ultimately, we're working on getting the families and the children reunified too, you know, in a healthy way so that they have realistic expectations and that hopefully we can help them to work through some of the pain and anger, the misguided pain and anger, mm-hmm. I might add, that isn't directed towards them. It was just a situation.
Just hurt.
And so many times it's those moments that we were just talking about earlier that we don't play the tape through. Mm-hmm. And seconds, lives can change.
Well, that guy that shot at the police officers, he was on parole. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He was shot and killed, but when you talk about just that mentality, oh, they ain't taking me.
Yeah. But I'm not going down, copper.
Yeah, but the thing is, what was it? Wasn't he in, like, some type of housing? What the, you know what I'm saying? So when you, and I'm not, like, trying to, whether it's a cast salt on somebody. I'm just talking about what I know over the last 25 years.
Right.
That's all that I'm saying. A lot of people are in for different reasons, money and things like that, and they do so many different things. So if I'm coming to you for, like, the guy that's just caught to the house, right?
Right.
He was homeless riding down the street on a bike. He said, man, I was just praying that somebody would help me. Mm. You know, somebody from the house came by, saw him running from jail. Mm-hmm. Hey, I know a couple guys over here, they're doing something.
Right.
And he's like so thankful.
Isn't that amazing how God works?
Yeah. But that's how God works.
It is exactly how God works. And we see it over and over again when we're doing the right things. And, you know, when we're going so fast and we're trying to run from God, we miss a lot of miracles. And when you're running towards God and you're trying to be in alignment with his will, mm-hmm. You begin to recognize the things, and he starts making things happen in your life. And there's no way to just chop it up to chance.
Right.
I mean, we start running into people that we haven't seen forever that are on the same path. We start seeing that people just come in front of us, and we don't even have to tell them who we are, and they just start crying mm-hmm. and want to talk.
And you talk about Frank. You don't get excited. I get excited about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a daily thing.
Watching God work.
Yeah, it's a daily thing that I do, and it weighs on you, right?
Yeah.
But when I began talking about this and doing this, then here comes the passion and excitement.
Right.
You know, it can't be there constantly because I'd, like, burn out or die.
Dude, look, we have tough days. Just, like, we're so human. I mean, I'm so human. But, Yeah, there's sometimes when the word is in me and I'm fired up and I'm fired up about what we're doing. Then there's other moments where I'm having a rough day and it's been hot outside all day. And it was fun day today and for the kids. And darn, it was a hot day for that. Can they just reschedule sometimes when they find out it's going to be that way? Let's pick a 60-degree day next week because there is one. And, oh, that's amazing.
You know where she graduated from?
Where'd she graduate from?
Metro Community College.
Who are we talking about, Frank?
You can't share her name?
Yeah.
Teresa Phillips graduated from Metro Community College. Amen.
And if people,
how many times she been to prison?
And do you know if people knew this girl's story?
Story? Oh, my God.
She is a miracle.
She sent that to me. That's her. Was that's that her amazing. Mom? I think that's her.
I wish I could
sponsor,
share this with everyone. Yeah.
I think that's her sponsor.
I wish I could share that picture with everyone.
But so when you talk about like things, when you get wore down, you see something like that, you're like, okay, that's a
inspiration.
It's an inspiration. It's possible.
Yeah.
You know? She got a different life.
She even looks different.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, now I'm talking to one guy. He picked up, he was out on medical parole.
Right.
Decided he was going to like do whatever, which
he
was totally insane, you know.
Right.
Guess where he's back at?
Where?
Prison.
Oh, no.
They gave him 3 years and a day on top of what he already
That's
had.
And he's dying.
He's going to die. You know what they ain't doing?
What?
Giving his cancer medication.
Yeah. He's got stage 4.
Yeah, lung cancer. And so I know, see, I'm praying for him because I know, man, he's going to die in there. And that's what I know.
And when he is on, he's really on. He's good people, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I know, you know. Just because he wanted to, like, it doesn't make any sense when you talk about how the brain works and what people do to each other. We talk about talking about each other or isolating each other, isolating people. Then that's when you talk about that Book of Shame talks about neural disintegration, how the brain just begins to stay within itself and not reaching out to others and begins to shut down. And that's when all that crazy stuff comes back in.
Well, and you know, this medicine stuff and a lot of that I've been concerned about for a long time when judges and everybody else started privatizing prisons, you know, and investing in them at the same time. I mean, how long is that going to go on before we have gulags? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because they want to give them the bare minimum because they need to maximize their profit, you know? And let's face it, prison is becoming a business, big business. And it's a shame because we spend more money to keep people in than we do to try to keep them out.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We talk about people that I know that have been in and out of the system for years.
Just lock them up.
And you get picked up for a little bit of nothing.
Yeah.
Like one lady's been down 3 times and she's hoping somebody move. This was like about 6 months ago, maybe.
Oh,
and one of the lights were out on the top of her truck.
Yeah.
And they pulled her over. You know how you got the lights that go across the top of the truck?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, once they pull you over and they run your name,
then you got to search your vehicle. Yeah,
you're hit. They're like, oh, you're done. You.
Look, officers out there do a great job.
But
the end doesn't justify the means.
But say they get pulled over, which is okay, understandable. Okay, I'll give you that.
Right.
But what happens when they go into the courthouse and they're done? You know, officers do their part. Okay, whatever. So if I go to the courthouse, I think the courthouse is going to be fair. As you know, the young lady went to court for it wasn't fair for her.
Well, you could say that in varying degrees, you know, or a mother that walks in front of a bunch of suburban parents that think they're better than other people because that's just by their nature, and then and then somebody that they know has gone through some struggles, they all look down on, and they feel it. They feel that shame. They're piling that shame back on without them even realizing what they're doing or caring, for that matter. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about like when you get into the courthouse, how unfair it is. That's
right. The same thing just piles the shame right back on it.
That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, you're saying that was an inadvertent deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't have happened. Probably wasn't even theirs, right?
Right.
Because I remember the story. And then here you are prejudging them and shaming them for their past. I thought that when you did your time, it was
over with.
Yeah,
it'd be nice. It'd be nice if it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many cases where it carries on forever. You know, but we can't let that hold us down.
No.
But
you, and it takes work to change. So we talk about what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a community where people can come into and work on rewiring their brain. That's all we're talking about. And, and when they're able to do that, then they'd be able to become different.
Now I feel like I have to tell a good officer story too, though. Do you remember when our boy that's in the house said that he had just been out for a few days and he was driving a car with no transits or nothing, and a state trooper of all people pulled him over, and he told him the situation. They just got out. He was staying clean and doing all this stuff, and he said, "Son, just keep up doing what you're doing." You know?
Yeah.
That happens too.
Yeah, it does.
It's just that one, you know, guy that got bullied, and now he can be a bully now that he's a cop, that you run into that ruins it for a lot of them, you know what I mean? Because then you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's a jerk, and it overshadows all the great guys out there saving lives every day. So thank you guys for doing a good job, and for the ones that are bullies, poop on you.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I probably get fined for that. Too.
I'm not against police. I call them in a minute when there's something going down that's wrong.
You're poopy.
You know that?
That's what I have to say to them, poopy.
Poopy.
Poop.
I think we found the title of the episode.
Poopy. Poop. So, yeah, we're so excited about getting this horse, you know, the men's house started.
We still didn't tell them about the Celebrate Recovery we do on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, we do Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights at 1501 Mike Fahey Drive at 7 o'clock every Tuesday. So feel free to join us there and share the word. And my good boy Sadhu that we talked about last week, Sundar Singh, was talking about, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but that when he was in Tibet, that he had met a guy that lived in a hole with only a hole of mud. He had built this cave of mud around himself with only a hole big enough for his mouth for them to hand food through the hole to keep him alive, because he was trying to control his thoughts and become, and you know, like a prophet, a godly man, you know, about only God. And so when Sundar talked to him, he said, even in that, I could not control my thoughts.
Yeah.
Of, you know, having evil thoughts at times and thinking in ways that he shouldn't have been. A man in a hole with a hole. So imagine, you know, we're not called to be sinless.
Mm-mm.
But we are called to confess and to let go of that stuff with the Lord so that we can move on. And, you know, even though next week I might sin in a different way, I'm going to do my very best not to continue to do things in the way that I used to do them.
Yeah, it's not like you go to bed and wake up in the morning and say, oh, let me see what kind of sin I'm going to commit.
Well, remember I said that. We don't just wake up and say, I think I want to be a butthole today.
Yeah.
We do it, but we're not thinking about it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's not our purpose, yeah.
But I'm just so grateful for the miracles that we are working on.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
How did we end up on the radio, man?
I think it was you.
That was you. That was you, dude. That wasn't me. I don't be like, hey, Sean, what do you think about doing a radio show called Trauma
Talk? I think it's just another way to spread the word about, what we're doing. And I just want to share the joy and the promise of overcoming our past and being able to live life freely through a process, the processes that we know that work. And I think this is the best way ever to communicate with others in the midst of struggle. You know?
It was your idea, though. It was mine.
I think it was yours.
No, it wasn't. It's okay, but
I, you know, Cam, you know who the media guy is. You know.
It's you.
But I stand behind it firmly, because if there's anybody out there, even one person tonight that happened to come across this station and is struggling, and they play the tape through in their mind before they go out and do something crazy, then it's worth it every week.
You know, I didn't tell you, man.
All five of you. Thank you.
But the thing is, you know, I got a Psychology Today website, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I can swear over the last probably month, I get like maybe 3 or 4 calls a week.
Is that crazy?
Reach out through email. It could be because of this. I don't know, because usually I was like, I dropped off, then the where I work at sometimes, right. They'll be like, how do you get referrals from Psychology Today? I don't get referrals from Psychology Today because everybody's learning.
I remember when you first started doing that, you're like, I don't hear from anybody.
Yeah, all of a sudden I get like,
I spent all this money on this, I don't get anything.
Yeah, I think about 3 or 4 weeks now. You know?
Right.
So somebody must be listening.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we are, again, we're grateful for anyone out there, and we're thankful for you spending this time with us. We're blessed to have you. I'm still trying to earn my blade of grass in the kingdom of God, so.
Blade of grass in the kingdom of God.
Maybe this will work.
Just let me get in the door. Just let me get in the door.
Yeah, he's making many rooms. I just want to have my little spot of grass, you know.
I don't need no room. Just let me hang out somewhere.
Yeah. You know? On the gate, at the gate, yeah, outside the gate.
Because so, when you look at your lifestyle, I should even be in here.
I was listening to this program. You know that people are old when they use program. You know what the other one is? Cam, clicker.
Clicker?
Do you have their clicker? Clicker. Do you hand me their clicker? I don't really want their clicker. Anyway, so not the clacker, the clicker.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, I forgot.
Or the clapper.
I lost it. The clapper. How about those epic? Okay, so now I'm totally off track for a minute, but those epic commercials about falling and not being able to get up.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, those were the best. And personally, guys, if you spray that black stuff at the bottom of your boat, what is it called again that dude makes?
Flex Seal,
yeah. Are you going to go out there among sharks in the ocean? Because I'm not trusting it.
Get my screen door covered in Flex Seal. Heading out. Yeah. Also, I think those Life Alert commercials,
yeah.
In the future, it'll be a bunch of tattooed hipsters.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, help, I've fallen, and I just can't even. I think it's going to be the line.
I just can't even
right now. Yeah. Like, oh, millennials.
Whoa. Yeah, what a way to end the show tonight.
I've been holding on to that joke for a while. Debuted it right here. That's just
clickers,
for you guys.
Yeah, clickers and stuff. Well, good luck to Nebraska baseball, men's baseball, and women's softball. I think there's a lot of action happening.
Yeah, there's some TBD games for Monday and Tuesday for softball and baseball.
I've got to say again, you know, the gods are looking on Walnut Radio because this is the most successful Nebraska season in multi-sport season in memory.
Yeah, just happened to be the year we picked them up.
Yeah, that's my point. You know, Steve's doing something right. Tell him.
Good job, Steve.
Good job, Steve. This is a paid program. Anyway, until next week, give somebody a hug, you guys. Yeah. And, you know, just, man, love each other. And we all got to try to stop ourselves. I do, too. When I get frustrated sometimes, I want to react. But what I really need to do is just pause and think and just really say that cliche statement, what would Jesus do, right, before I react?